hello there, and welcome to Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Georgiani, and you're in for a special treat today, so you're going to sit back and listen and learn, because you asked for this wonderful guest to come back to Take Two, because 1 hour wasn't long enough a couple weeks ago. So he has graciously agreed to come back for this particular episode. It's a brand new, pre-recorded, new content episode where we're going to be talking about worry. That's right. And what happens to all of us when we have those thoughts that go around and around in our heads and we can't get them out, and we're just worrying about the past, we're worrying about the future, we're really not enjoying the present moment. So our dear friend, Catholic speaker and best-selling author, Gary Zimak, is back with us. This is kind of like a part two, and he has already agreed to do a part three. So I'm going to be asking the questions that you sent in after his first appearance a couple weeks ago, where we talked about his brand new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. It was a wonderful discussion, but you had a lot of feedback from that particular show. So we're going to continue the conversation right now, and I want to bring on air with me Gary Zimak. Gary, thank you for coming back to Take Two.
Hey, Debbie, I'm excited. Thanks so much for having me back. It's always fun when I get to be on with you.
It is. Take Two family, they're so great. And it was, we spent that hour together talking about your brand new book, Lord Save Me. Yes. And we got a lot of conversations happening. And then a bunch of the Take Two family, they contacted me on social media and they said, can you bring Gary back and ask him some questions that we're all struggling with right now? And I said, you know, if Gary's willing to do it, let's go for it. Because you, I think, do such a fine job at reaching the listeners of Catholic Radio, because you're speaking from your own experience. That's the first thing that I want to address, Gary, and maybe you can talk with our listeners, because I love looking through, first of all, they're all so all your book titles and your the actual books themselves, they're so colorful. And I love looking at all your books, but I noticed, like, right underneath each book that comes out, there's a year of when you publish it. And I'm thinking to myself, are you having these things in your life? And then you're thinking, I better write about it so I can help others, because you'll have 2015, 2016, 2017, all the way up to a couple weeks ago when you just released Lord Save Me. So that's the first question I want to ask you on behalf of the Take Two family, because we want to know, are you relating all of these books to your own journey in life and your spiritual life?
You know, Debbie, that's a great question. And I have to tell you, every one of the books I have written, this is the 14th one. My first book came out in 2012, which is A Worrier's Guide to the Bible. And every year after that, I've been blessed to be able to write another book. Every one of these books, this might sound strange, but every one of these books was written for me. I wrote it because I was struggling with something, and I thought, what would I want to read? And I talked to the Lord about it. I prayed and I said, Lord, put myself in the place. I put myself in the place of a reader who is struggling with a problem, who is struggling with anxiety, who is struggling with following the Lord, who is struggling with discouragement. And what would I like to read? And he's always given me the ideas. And really, these books are based upon my own personal experience. I am just not preaching, sitting and telling people, you shouldn't worry. I'm somebody who struggles with that temptation every day. You know, it's gotten better over the years, but I still have that tendency to go worst case and think of the catastrophe that might develop. So yeah, every one of these books is deeply personal and written most often from a place of from difficulty. You know, as I've written these books, I usually was going through something at the moment, mm-hmm. and that helped me to really, you know, channel my thoughts and put them into writing.
Well, and our listeners, they can find all your books at followingthetruth.com. You have them all listed there, and they could kind of journey with you and walk with you all these years that you've been producing these wonderful products for us to help us along this spiritual path. So let's go into the questions that our listeners sent after our last episode that we recorded together. And so we're not taking any phone calls today, guys. So please sit back, take notes. And Gary Zimak, this this is his second appearance in a couple weeks on Take Two. And then he's going to come again for the third and final, where we're going to talk about these fears that kind of creep into our lives. And they're really difficult and they're very paralyzing. So we're going to talk about that one on part three. But this is like part two. So please tell your friends about this. And if you want to go back into the archive section of EWTN.com, pick up the first interview we did, and then you'll have all three parts when we're finished. But okay, worry. Gary, it's yes. you mentioned it. For those of us that are wired that way, I mean, my family, we were great at it. My mother was fabulous at worrying. I mean, yes. she could worry for you and for the next door neighbor and everybody else. What do you say to people when we're just wired in a certain way that worry just is part of, we kind of feel like it's part of our DNA?
You know, I'm glad you used that term, that wired this way, because that's how I've always been. I've always had this tendency to worry, to assume that the worst is going to happen. What I would say to anybody struggling with that is number one, don't try to deny it. We're all created differently. We all have different gifts. We all have different, struggles, tendencies, I guess the word is I'm looking for. Some of us have a tendency to overanalyze and to think, how is this going to get worse? You know, this situation is happening. Like, oh my gosh, what if this happens? Or what if this happens? And we pile what if on top of what if. Here's what I would say to somebody who is struggling with that. As one who has always had that tendency to worry, this is the way the Lord has got my attention. My faith has grown because of my tendency to be anxious. So if you have that tendency to worry, don't try to just change and say, oh, this, I'm going to change, I'm going to become a different person. But instead, look at these situations that may cause us to be afraid or may cause us to worry. Look at them as opportunities to grow mm-hmm. closer to the Lord. When I'm weak, that. When I'm scared, right? When I'm burdened, mm-hmm. when I realize, hey, I can't do this, then my mind goes to the fact that, wait a minute, somebody I know can handle this, the Lord, you know? So I believe a lot of times for many of us, he allows us to be anxious so that we don't forget that we need him.
That's
right. So it can be a good thing, Debbie.
I love the way you just framed that for us. Wow, that was huge. Gary Zimak is with us, and I hope that you're listening and staying tuned in. You stay tuned in for the entire episode, because this is important stuff we're learning about worry today. He's a best-selling author, so really sit back and bring out your notebooks and get some good information today. Our dear friend Gary Zimak is with us. He's a Catholic speaker and a best-selling author and radio host, and he has really helped us for many, many years on all these things like fear and worry and anxiety and things that really hold us back and hold us down. And we're having a great discussion with the questions that you sent in from our last broadcast with Gary. And so I am representing the Take Two family, and I'm learning. I hope you're learning, and make sure that when you're done with this particular brand new recorded episode that our dear, wonderful producer Michael McCall put together, send it to a friend who, if you, everybody knows a friend that worries a lot. Okay, send it to a friend so you can let them be free starting today. Okay, before we continue our discussion about worry and anxiety and fears, I wanted to share with our listeners, you can carry EWTN with you everywhere when you download the free EWTN app. You can enjoy EWTN live TV and radio streams, audio and video on demand, EWTN news, program schedules, prayers, and devotionals. All you have to do is download the EWTN app at EWTNapps.com. Okay, Gary, you just framed that sense of worrying into something very positive. I love how you did that. And you're absolutely spot on. In my life, I feel the same way. When I am worrying and I feel weak and I feel vulnerable and I feel very open to all these things that are going to keep me down, immediately I turn to God. So what am I doing? I'm actually building more trust in God, more dependency on God, more love for God, because I need him so desperately. Now, Gary, some of us play that tug of war with God, where we surrender, we give over the worries. Okay, I'm not going to worry, Lord. I you've got this. Jesus, you take the wheel. And then for about, 5 or 10 minutes, we start pulling it back and we start worrying again. What do you say to people that do that constantly? And then I want you also to address, you know, a lot of people are asking, is it a sin to do that? You know, you're giving it over to the Lord and then you're taking it back.
Yeah, great questions there. Let me address the first one. That constant tug of war that I'm going to stop worrying, I'm going to trust you more, Lord. Then the minute something happens, what am I going to do? I think I would encourage anybody to take comfort in the fact that it's a process. This is not something that we are going to, I believe, overcome instantaneously. For me, I've seen a gradual improvement. You know, God's grace doesn't always just change us instantly. And I think I would say be patient with yourself and also be patient with the Lord. And oftentimes, this is a constant learning experience. It's a process. Debbie, I wrote this book, Lord Save Me, for just those situations where we're in a crisis or really struggling. And the Lord needs to be real to us at that moment in time. And in the introduction, I use the example of St. Peter walking on the water. He's following Jesus. Everything's going well. St. Peter, the Bible tells us, is able to walk on the water, but then what happens? He starts looking at the waves and the wind, and he takes his eyes off of Jesus. He begins to sink. And that's that struggle. You know, take my eyes off of Jesus, start dwelling on the problem. But then Peter refocused, and he remembered, wait a minute. I got somebody who could save me. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the Lord didn't criticize him. The Lord didn't say, well, you should have trusted me and not began to sink. No, the Lord immediately, the Bible says, reached out his hand and he grabbed Peter and he saved him. So that's what I would say. Be patient. It is a process. But I've been at this for a while now, you know, 13 years in full-time ministry. And before that, I was really trying to learned with the help of the Lord to stop, you know, to overcome my tendency to worry. So it's been many years. It gets better. That time between panic, which is when something goes wrong, and me turning to the Lord in prayer, that time has gotten a lot shorter, you know, and that's the key. Worry is a response to fear. Mm-hmm. When I'm afraid, that's an opportunity. I can either worry or I can choose to place my trust in the Lord. And I would say this also, don't get hung up with your feelings. This is not about feeling. This is about a conscious decision to trust God even when you are scared to death. And now that's the first part of your question. Now, I got so carried away with that I forgot the second part of your question. So if you could remind me.
Well, I was actually, now I've got another question for you because you just triggered something in me that when you just said that about keeping your eyes on the Lord, you know, and not letting all the storms around you overwhelm you. One thing I will say though, in conversations like this, and I said this at the beginning of when we came back from the break, it is important for our listeners. A lot of our Take Two family members, you're at work or you're at lunch or you're doing something else and you're partial, you know, you're listening, you're tuning in, kind of doing something else, multitasking, if you will. I'm asking folks to really listen. And I mean, clearly pay attention to what Gary's saying if you are a worrier, because it is important that we manage this. And I think that's what I was going to share next, Gary, this idea of, you know, if we are wired a certain way, that we have that inclination to go to the first response, like you're saying, is, you know, when you're in fear and then you go to worry. If we tend to do that, if that's our normal routine to go that way, we really need to manage it quickly when it hits that first fear point, correct?
Right. That is correct. That is correct. Absolutely. And I remember the second part of your question, and it's an important one. You said, is it a sin to worry?
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Right? Let's get into that, because we have a lot of scrupulous people worry, by the way.
Yep, that's exactly right. And you know, and I've talked to numerous priests about this as well, because I've read articles that say it is an absolute sin to worry. And I've read other articles that said, well, not necessarily, because we have to acknowledge that some people deal with biological anxiety, clinical anxiety, which is a medical condition. So the last thing I want to do is make anybody, and I think the last thing the Lord wants us to do is to start to feel guilty because of a chemical imbalance that may be causing a problem. So here's what I would say, and this is my opinion, and again, I've consulted with priests about this. Strictly speaking, I don't think we could say worry is always a sin. However, I'm a believer in, when I go to confession, I go not just to have my sins, but also to obtain the grace to avoid committing them in the future. Jesus specifically said, do not worry. I mean, he said that in the Sermon on the Mount, do not worry. That's really clear. That's a command. There are times when I believe I cross over that line and I don't stop myself, even though I know that I should. Look, I can't control my feelings. I can't control my circumstances, but I can control my thoughts to a certain extent. Again, my feelings, they're beyond my control. My circumstances, I often can't control them. But I can choose at the moment I am about to start worrying to say, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. I'm still scared. I'm still doubting, you know, help me, but I'm going to trust in you. And I have confessed worry because I don't want to go into confession with sort of a legalistic approach saying that, well, strictly speaking, this isn't a sin. No, right, Jesus right. told me to worry. I still fall into that trap and I worry. I need help. I need the grace. So yes, I have confessed times when, you know, whether it's a sin or not, strictly speaking, I don't care. I want to get better. I just don't want to just avoid, you know, I don't want to confess anything if it's not a sin and I'm not sure it's a sin. It's certainly an imperfection. And if Jesus said, don't worry, I'm going to choose to confess it because I want the grace to avoid it in the future. So I hope that's a good enough answer. I would say, look, if you think if you think you crossed that line and maybe you're choosing to trust the Lord, go ahead and confess it. Get the grace. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's what mm-hmm. I do. That's my approach.
Well, I think that's really, I mean, I think that's very a wonderful approach that you are using for yourself. And I think others need to, don't you, when you say, Gary, that you need to really work with yourself to decide, yep. because you don't want to fall into, right? You don't want to fall into scrupulosity where you're that's now right. every thought that you have, you think it's a sin. And you're like,
exactly.
Yeah. And it could really make you start to not be able to enjoy life at all because that's a very heavy, heavy weight to put on yourself. But I agree with you. To get the grace. I love that. And you know, I think oftentimes, especially with the sacrament of reconciliation, I think we have to remember as Catholics, it's a healing sacrament. And it's meant right. to get to provide that that sense of that we have a wholeness, a healing in our soul with the graces that are there for us to have strength for the journey. So we don't ask for that grace enough. And so a lot of times when people go into the sacrament of reconciliation, it's like, oh, I just want to wash everything clean. I just want to start right. over a fresh slate. But really also too, we should tap into those abundant graces because that is what's going to help us the next time we are faced with something that is going to ignite the fears in us, right? So I love how yeah. you said that. I think that is so important. Again, you're putting a positive spin on it. And I think that's right. really good for those of us that have we go to those, you know, we worry all the time or we go to those fear tendencies. This is important to make it more productive in our life rather than something like, oh my goodness, I'm such a worrier. I can't make it through life. Right. This is so heavy. Right. So I like the way you're doing this. Now you're saying it and it sounds good. Do you mm-hmm. you live it? Do you really live it? I mean, I'm asking you, do you really practice it the way you're preaching it today? Because I think I need to know that because sometimes I know I share really good stuff, really good spiritual nuggets with people, but then in the privacy of my home, I'll sit there and worry for, you know, a half an hour straight.
All right. Let me just say this. Sometimes you'll hear people say, well, I don't have all the answers. And I'd like to come on and say, you know, Debbie and anybody listening, I don't have all the answers. But actually, I do have the answer when it comes to worry. The answer is Jesus. Now, I might have the answer, but do I always practice going to that answer or applying it in my life? No, I don't. You know, and that's the thing. I'm a work in progress, and I try to be as transparent as possible when I speak, when I write, so that nothing turns me off more than an author or a speaker who just seems to have it all together. And, you know, they're overly mm-hmm. confident. Look, mm-hmm. I'm confident in Jesus. I am not confident in Gary Zimek. He's a weakling. He's a sinner, but Jesus, he's the man. I am weak. When I am weak, then I am strong. And if St. Paul's good enough, if that's good enough for him, then I can feel the same way. But Debbie, I struggle. Right. I don't, you know, there's times when I forget this. But, you know, I found that the more time, and, you know, I don't want to move on without just addressing that scrupulosity issue that you mentioned, because that's so important. Mm-hmm. The last thing I want to do is make anybody who struggles with scrupulosity feel that they are committing a sin. They need to confess it more. I personally don't struggle with scrupulosity. Mm-hmm. I tend to be an overthinker. I tend to be a worrier, but scrupulosity is not something I'm afflicted with. But, you know, every time I would confess worry, and it's usually, you know, after a period of time when I could have addressed it, when I could have done a better job, I've never had a priest tell me, well, you're being scrupulous. So if you are being scrupulous, chances are the priest in confession is going to recognize it. And if he says to you, you're being a little scrupulous, you have to choose to listen to him because Christ is speaking through that priest. So if you mm-hmm. are scrupulous, mm-hmm. you know yourself. You know, take that into consideration before you run to confession every day about this, mm-hmm. you know, and that's like, again, I'm just speaking for myself,
right?
But some people, this is a real burden, this condition of scrupulosity, and understand that you may be thinking you are sinning when you're not. So that mm-hmm. word of caution is necessary. And also, Debbie, and I think this is critical, a lot of times people get confused when they feel a certain way. You know, giving up worry is an act of the will. It's not a matter of feeling. So I can choose to say, Jesus, I trust in you, Lord, save me, or Lord, help me to stop worrying, help me to trust in you more, and still feel worried. Mm-hmm. That's okay.
Yeah.
My will is that I'm choosing to trust in the Lord. And sometimes it takes feelings a while to catch up with our intellect. And that's something that can be troubling for so many people. You know, I was like, I'm not worried. I'm praying, but I'm still scared. Right. That's okay. The Lord doesn't ask us to change our feelings. We can't do that. You know, what we can do is change our response to the feeling. So
right.
I hope that clears things up a little bit, because I know somebody might be listening and really struggling, saying, I don't feel like I'm trusting. No, you could choose to trust and still not feel like it. Happens to me all the time. I view situations as hopeless. They feel hopeless. I feel discouraged. I feel like I'm not a good Christian. You know, I feel these things, but that doesn't necessarily make them facts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You remind me of like a country singer-songwriter. You know, they do all those songs about breakups and relationships and things like that. And it's just you remind me of that with your books to help all of us as Catholics on this journey, because it's all the things that we know that can keep us down or make us sad, and you're walking through it, you're living it, and then you're trying to impart those spiritual nuggets to us so that we can get through it. I love that. I mean, it's such a unique angle that you have, Gary. And I didn't mean to put you on the spot earlier, but I sort of did. And I'll tell you why, because I do think that I think people are looking for the real raw truth now. They're tired of these social images that are going out there. We know that from social media, right? And people putting on this false, appearance of, you know, this is how I am, this is how I live my life. And then you find out, you know, years later with a news article, oh, they didn't really live that life at all, you know?
And
it's discouraging, and it really can knock you down when in your belief in people and things. And so I wanted our listeners to know that you're the real deal with this. I've known you for many years, and you're very transparent. You're very authentic. You share it like it is, what you've been through, your struggles in life, and you're willing to go there and help us when we're in those dark places. And I think that is so important. It's a beautiful ministry work you have, Gary. And when we come back, more of this discussion of how to free ourselves from the fears and the worries and the things in life that just keep us back, keep us paralyzed. So please, folks, stay with us the rest of this episode of Take Two. Our dear friend, best-selling author and speaker and radio host Gary Zimak is back with us because you asked for him to come back, and he has agreed, and he's very busy. He's on a big tour for his new book, Lord Save Me, Prayers and Encouragement When Life Feels Hard. You can find his books and all at his website, and also sign up for his you do a daily, is it a daily or a weekly?
I do a daily email reflection. And boy, Debbie, that really took off. I started that during COVID. And, you know, when I started, I thought, am I going to really be able to keep up with this every day? Well, I have. And people really respond to that because, you know what, like you said, I want to walk with people. Mm-hmm. I want to go through life. I want to draw souls to Christ to the best I can. I don't want to just say, well, just don't worry. It's more to it than that. I love that interaction. People write to me. They seem to like these emails. And, I'm going to keep doing it as long as I can. It's been very effective, and it's really bearing a lot of fruit.
Yeah, it's amazing. So that's at followingthetruth.com, and you can see all of Gary's books, the titles. They're just wonderful, and it's very colorful. I love it. I love looking at people's works, and then I like when it's entertaining, too. When you're like, I can go through your site all the time, and I love it. It just makes, because I'll go, oh, I can have that book. As a matter of fact, Gary, I have to tell you something. This is so funny. A friend of mine asked me after we had you on last time about Lord Save Me. They called me and they said, okay, should I get that book? But I noticed he has a dozen other books. And I said, well, I said, actually, I have to tell you, I would get all of them and just have a Gary Zimak library.
Oh, you're
and,
very nice.
and she goes, really? She goes, but are they, is it kind of duplicates? I said, well, all have a different kind of feel to it, right? I mean, you didn't just,
yeah.
Okay. So to explain that, because some have similar titles.
Yeah, they do, but there's always a slightly different, I could not do anything without the prompting of the Holy Spirit. And right now, you know, after 14 books, I don't know what my next book is. And I've been sitting with the Lord in the Adoration Chapel every day. And I've been praying like, Lord, give me the next book. If you want me to write another one, I can't just force this stuff. So, you know, my first book, I'm not going to go through them all, but my first one was A Worrier's Guide to the Bible. That's where it all started. I thought, man, the Bible has to be filled with some Bible verses for people like me who worry. So that's what started it. The second book I wrote was Listen to Your Blessed Mother. And Debbie, the reason I wrote that book was I was struggling to have a good relationship with Mary. Mm-hmm. Even though I'm a cradle Catholic, I've been around Marian teaching all of my life. I've heard a lot about her. I didn't have a good relationship with her. So I thought, I got to write a book to help myself and help others learn about the Blessed Mother. And each book is basically something that I was dealing with. If I ever get to the point where I'm just saying the same thing over and over again, if I've said all that I have to say about a topic, I'm not going to write any more books because I'll just be repeating the same message. So no, they are all different. And many times, I would say every time, it's my response to the Holy Spirit leading me to write a certain book. I start to feel excited. You know, I just can't not put the words down on paper. And that's how I know the Lord's directing me to write a different book.
So, you know, after you said about the second book of writing the book because you were having your own, you know, thoughts about your relationship with the Blessed Mother, I want to thank you for writing that book. And it was interesting. We had a little computer glitch, so you heard a little bell. But you know what? I take that as a little heavenly sign that the Lord is saying thank you for writing a book about His Mother, because I think that is a big, major struggle for a lot of people, especially, I have to say this, especially men. Men, I've met so many men in the coaching world who really don't know where to place the Blessed Mother in their spiritual life. You know, it's not up for an option as a good and faithful Catholic. You know, it's the dogmas of our church. I mean, it is important that we understand that our Blessed Mother plays a very important role in our spiritual lives and for all of eternity, right? And so it's really interesting that we should start to develop that relationship now. So that's your second book. Wow, that's interesting. I didn't realize it went that far back. So let me and you do realize what's going to happen, because the Take Two family loves to give suggestions. So you do realize they're probably going to go to followingthetruth.com and say, Gary, make your next book this or make your next book that. because they love to impart suggestions. And I do as well. I was thinking of titles. But real quickly, Gary, I want to just go back to this idea of really being an authentic person in ministry, especially, on radio. I think it's time that we really are very, very transparent with folks that are listening to Catholic radio, because people are struggling. You know this. Jerry and I started a life coaching ministry over 5 years ago, and it has grown significantly. And the fine folks that come to us, they are so grateful that we put everything out there. Jerry and I put everything out there, the good, the bad, the ugly. We put everything out there. And they said, thank you so very much. We need to know that you have experienced this, or you're frustrated at times, or you over worry and you can't get any rest, or, the fears are coming into your life. We need to know these things so that we don't feel like we're all alone. Would you say that after writing, these 14 books, would you say that most of us kind of, we do deal with all of these things? Now, maybe not in a deeper, degree than others, but I mean, we do face these things because living in this world is tough. Gary, talk about that for a little bit.
Exactly. And and by the way, I just love you and Jerry and your honesty. That's why I admire you so much. That's why we're friends. That's why I listen to you, because you guys are real. You're right. We need that. There's a lot of people that just seem to have a false sense of confidence. Well, I don't know. Maybe you should worry a little, because I meet people who say, well, I never worry. I never worry because I place my trust in the Lord. And then there's the people who say, I just never worry because everything always works out. Well, I feel bad for people like that, because they're missing the point, I think you need to be authentic. You need to be honest I need to be honest with my audience. I need to tell people when I'm struggling. We are bombarded by reasons to worry and to panic, because one thing the media does very well is give us, and I'm not talking about Catholic media, I'm talking about the mass media in general. They give us plenty of reasons to worry. But they don't tell the full truth. They're leaving out the part that we have a God who loves us and is completely in control of our lives. They leave out that part. They give us all these reasons why we should worry, and maybe give us some solutions. Well, here's how you can protect yourself, which are limited, because I have no control over so many things. So the media doesn't tell the full story. So the full story is that, yes, there are bad things that happen. There are really, really bad things that happen in the world. There is some nasty stuff going on. There is evil. There is danger. However, we have a God who is in complete control of our lives. If he allows something unpleasant to happen, he's doing it for a reason. And I think that's what we need to remember. And that's the message that I always try to convey. Like, sooner or later, you got to take your eyes off of the storm and focus on the Lord. Because the more you focus on the storm and the danger, and the longer you watch the news, the more depressed and worried you're going to become. It's very hard to be discouraged and hopeless when you open up your Bible and read about Jesus performing miracles, when you receive the Eucharist as often as possible, when you receive the sacrament of reconciliation, when you do these things, when you pray. It's hard to be discouraged, because you start to realize, and a lot of this is grace, that the Lord is in charge, that he does love me, and that he can really fix this problem. And if he doesn't, if he chooses not to, he can give me the grace to deal with it. Debbie, starting off your day, as I did for so many years, by either scrolling through social media, through your feed on social media, or watching the news, it's a guaranteed way to find yourself to become depressed. I heard Father Larry Richards talk about this years ago at a men's conference. He said, if you start your day off by watching the news, you're going to become depressed. That's why I get up early and I do some spiritual reading and I pray. Because I know that if I just turn on the news or look at the internet, I'm going to be defeated before the day starts.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. During COVID, I think we were all attached to a lot of news to find out what was going to happen next. And I remember calling my sister every day saying, I'm getting more and more depressed over this. I needed to get away from it just so I could breathe, you know, and just live. And absolutely. I agree with you so much. My husband and I, we try to start every day in a very, very positive, uplifting way by prayer and song. We love music. Oh. I'll tell you, if the neighbors could hear us in the morning, they'd probably think we're having some kind of party in the morning. But we do that on purpose so that it kind of sets the tone for the whole day. Yeah. And then we ride that feeling of you know, just those feel-good hormones and everything, and just really try to ride that as long as we can throughout the day. And yes, we have storms. I mean, if you looked at my life, mm-hmm. you would say, boy, she's in a mess. She has a mess all around her, health-wise and all sorts of things. But I try not to focus on that. So really what you're saying is what we focus on, it's going to dictate the rest of the way we're feeling throughout the day.
Yeah. And I'm really glad you brought up music. I'm a big music fan. I always have been. And a lot of times when I can't get the words right, I put on some good Christian music mm-hmm. and that helps me. You know, it just mm-hmm. gets me out of that negative, that thought pattern. Sometimes, boy, music just lifts me. The Lord gives us so many different ways to really reach him and to have him to give us his grace. And music can be a great way.
Oh, yeah. Like, I'm a big fan of Matt Maher, and we have Matt Maher music, right. Tom Booth sure. music. We have so many. We have so many of our wonderful Christian music artists that in our arena around us, Julie Carrick. I mean, so many. And it's just beautiful, and it's so uplifting, and it raises your heart. It raises your soul to really look towards God and appreciate God. And wouldn't you feel, Gary, real quickly, when we appreciate God and have that gratitude and we start to be grateful for the things we have instead of worrying about the things that the what ifs, like you said, or how will I handle this if it happens, and all those things that we mess around with in our heads. When we start to just really be grateful for what we have in the present moment, you really can't be worried.
That's exactly right. And sometimes, you know, you just have to get out of your own head. And, you know, you talk about ways to do that. I love watching or listening to EWTN. They've, mm-hmm. you guys have helped me for years. You know, I'll put the mass on sometimes. Even though mm-hmm. I've gone to mass, I put the mass on yesterday. Father Leonard had a great homily, and he just got me out of my negative thinking. I thought, well, that's really good. He wasn't even addressing what I was concerned about, but just hearing that positive talk about the Lord is just fantastic. So I would recommend anybody listening, if you're struggling, if you can't get the words, maybe you're not a reader, make sure you listen to EWTN, you know, not or a good podcast. Mm. Not everybody likes to read. You know, some people tell me, I'd like to read your books, but I don't read that much. Well, then there's plenty of other ways that the Lord can get those positive thoughts in your head. And just, we got to get out of our own negative thinking sometimes.
I love how you said that, because I think we're drawn to that negativity. When you start to feel it, you go to something else that's negative, like that old saying, what is it? Misery loves company, you know, that type of thing.
Yeah.
And that can be dangerous, because then you start to, like you said, you start going into all these other places on social media. And before you know it, you're picking up other material, you're putting things in your head, and then you walk away and you can't really process it well. But if you lift the spirit with beautiful, you know, Catholic Christian music or EWTN mm-hmm. with the mass and the rosary and devotionals, then it's a game changer. It's amazing, because all of a sudden then you have this feeling like, you know, I can make it. I'm in a large group of the body of Christ walking together. Yeah, I love it. You know, Gary, what I love about you is I think that these very practical steps on having your best spiritual life, in my humble opinion, I think that's what we need right now. Now, don't get me wrong when I say this, because I always have people that say to me, well, I love, you know, these other programs that are very high theologically based. There's mm-hmm. a need for that. And formation, there absolutely, if people want to go deeper. But there's also the very specific need for step-by-step how to really get through life in a confident spiritual way. And that's important too. And people may say, well, this is elementary, you know, I should know this. That's not true, folks. You need to know something. Right. I think the world overwhelms us, And we can get caught up in the world so easily. Like Gary was saying, the influence of media, mass media and things of that nature, the secular world. And I think we need to get back to the basics and step by step move in this direction with these really great life skills that can help us. So I just want to thank you so much, Gary, because I think this, I hope this appeals to a lot of people. And please reach out to us, take2@ewtn.com, and tell us how you feel about this three-part discussion with Gary Zimak. So Gary, let's continue. I'm gonna just stop you in a moment. I want to share a little highlight with the Take Two family, but I want to make sure that we get this topic in for this particular episode. I know you'll be back for part three on fears, and wait till I ask you some fears about people are having some really deep fears about their relationships. It's very interesting, and I want to ask you that because I've got a series of questions. But let's make sure we cover this one for worry. Okay, so focus on Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. Really do the practical steps to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and not on the storms you're facing. Are you a believer in, and I've heard this before, and we actually use this in life coaching, that are you a believer in letting people worry a little bit, and you know, kind of timed worrying, if you will, where you have to, you know, process it or talk to someone, or are you on the side of the camp that says, no, don't even let worry enter into your mind?
You know, I've heard both opinions, and some people do practice that timed worrying approach. For me, that doesn't work because I have a hard time stopping after the time it expires. But you know, for me, it's just I'm of the belief that personally, it's best for me to just when I begin to feel that fear, rather than allow myself to worry or set aside a time to worry, to just turn to the Lord and to ask Him for help or spend time in His presence. But that's just me, and that's what works best for me.
Right. How about talking about, do you feel that when somebody calls a friend or tells a loved one about that what they're struggling with, does it make it better or worse?
That is a good question. And that's a deeply personal question for me, okay, because I'm sure my wife and my daughters wouldn't mind me saying this, but we're all worriers here at the Zimak household. We all have that tendency.
I would get along great in your family.
you would. But I've had to spend time with my daughters, with my wife, Eileen, and to hear what they were worried about, you know, and it really depends. Sometimes you just have to get it off your chest. I believe that it's okay to talk about it, but I always try, and I always feel guilty sometimes about this when a member of my family is really worried about a problem, and I always try to gently steer it back to Jesus. But there's a time for that, and sometimes you just have to listen first, because I think if you always take the approach, because I know this is the way I would feel, if every time I was worried, somebody would say to me, oh, just pray about it. What are you worried about? You worry too much. That would really make me feel worse about myself. Mm-hmm. I think it's best to affirm the fact that, okay, it's okay. You have that tendency. I have that tendency too. Let's see where we can go with this. So I think it's time to, I think there's a time to listen to other people's problems. Now, when it comes to myself, I've been the ear of our Lord a lot when it comes to my worries. But there's a point where I have to say, okay, Lord, I'm just going to place it in your hands, because as I'm praying to you, as I'm telling you all these things I'm worried about and start going into the gory details, Lord, I'm actually becoming more worried. So, right.
Because I'm going to leave it there, Lord. Yeah.
We can get too detailed, even in our prayers, I think, because we start thinking of things that are worse than when we started. You know, like the Lord knows, he gets it. I believe in unloading on Him, but then backing off and saying, but Lord, you know what's best. I don't need to tell you how to fix the problem. I'm just sharing with you what I'm nervous about. So I think we do need to really understand, because if you're somebody who doesn't worry and you have somebody who tends to worry in your family, you got to be really sensitive to the way they feel, because you can really shut them down and make them feel bad and become even more discouraged if you're too quick to say, well, just don't worry. There's more to it than that.
Oh boy, is that the truth, Gary? That you nailed it right there. Absolutely. So let me just share this with our listeners. Open Line Wednesday is this afternoon, 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Open Line is with Father Mitch Pacwa. Call in with your questions on scripture, biblical languages, and more. And that's a brilliant, I have to tell you, Father Mitch Pacwa is brilliant. Talk about a high theological understanding of what he has of our faith, that he's an amazing priest. And boy, oh boy, to listen to him, you learn a lot. But we're actually talking about worry today with Gary Zimak for this final few minutes we have with you. Gary, you'll be back for part three. We're going to talk about fears and fears in relationships, fear at work, all these fears that are coming into people's lives, and it's coming into view on a regular basis, causing people to go to want to zone out and numb themselves through alcohol or sleep or video games or all sorts of things. So we'll talk about that on part three. But just to finish this wonderful discussion, you know, it is, I want to ask you this question. It's very interesting. I'm not going to put you on the spot for your age, but I'll tell you that I'm going to be 60 years old this November, 60. And I will tell you that the worrying has decreased immensely as I age and as I learn and see that oftentimes the things that I have worried about never, ever, ever came true. It's never happened. And so it was such a waste of time. And also my strong devotion to Padre Pio, which is the famous, you know, the famous quote, pray, hope, and don't worry, because worry is useless. Right. God is merciful and will hear your prayers. And so, and then of course, the divine mercy, Jesus, I trust in you, has helped tremendously. But I noticed that as I age, you know, everybody criticizes, you know, when you get older, all these things start breaking down, you know, you start to realize, you know, your time here is, you know, limited at this point. Okay. But as I age, I'm loving this newfound freedom I have where I don't really worry about anything. I mean, it's really hilarious. And even my husband and family members are like, what happened to you? You used to be a worrier and now you don't really care. And it's funny. Did that happen with you? I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot for your age, but as you get older, do you feel the worries decrease or what happens?
I do. And I'm going to put myself on the spot. I turned 66 this past June. So I still, I don't know when that happened. I still can't understand that. But, you know, I'm on Medicare now. My life is changing, Debbie. I'm a senior citizen.
I mean, know.
Yeah. Right? It's like, wow. But yeah, I do think I've seen a lot. I look back and I really, you know, I don't believe in regretting the past. I believe in learning from the past. I don't dwell on past mistakes because the Lord, you know, he was always calling me. I wasn't paying attention, but he called me. I paid attention at the time I needed to pay attention. But yeah, I've seen things, so many things turn out better than I anticipated. Look, I bring this up when I speak a lot and I always get a laugh with it. I say, look, none of your problems have killed you yet. Right. Because if somebody's listening, anybody listening to the show, your problems haven't killed you. So there is a lesson in that. You know, Debbie, here's the thing. And this is, you reach a certain point. I'm not sure what point this happened to me. I guess maybe 65 or whatever. I'm very aware of my own mortality. Mm-hmm. I wasn't always, but it's not a bad thing because I'm working very hard now on cultivating virtues in my life. I want to be ready. I don't want to waste the time I have remaining. And it's not like I'm worried about it. I'm not freaked out about it, but there's a sense of urgency with me. I realize my time on earth is limited. Mm-hmm. And I want to make the best of it. So that's why I do these shows. That's why I write these books. That's why I speak. And also that's why I spend a lot of time working on my own imperfection, my own weakness, because I want to make sure I finish well. And that's so, you know, age has a benefit. I'm not, I know most of my life is behind me, but that's okay. I'm like you. I'm accepting it, and I've got several years on you, but I'm okay with it. It just makes me, every day I live is one day closer to eternal happiness with the Lord in heaven. And I feel that it's getting better as I get older. I have less tendency to fall into the habit of worry. Mm-hmm.
I feel the same way. We're in the same place. My sister calls this phase soul preparation phase. Mm. I love that. And I feel the same way as you do about trying to get my soul prepared at any moment if I was to meet the Lord. And so there's such a freeing aspect of that. Yeah. You know, you just feel like you feel like, okay, Lord, at any time I'm good. You know, everything's good. Well, let's go. And I love that. And the sense of urgency, I feel the same thing. And so I thank you so very much for the fine work that you are doing for all of us. And I just want to remind our listeners, you know, the whole library is at followingthetruth.com. You can also sign up for the daily reflections. Gary will be back for the third and final series on fear and worry. And we're going to talk about fears in relationships and at work and all sorts of things that are really starting to make people feel burdened in that area. And Gary's going to help us with his lived experiences. And that's what Take Two's all about. So we've only got a minute left. Gary, anything else you want to say for this particular episode?
I just want to, first of all, thank you for having me back multiple times, Debbie. Thank you for being a good friend, a good influence on me. You helped me at some times when life was really struggling. I want to let everybody know out there, don't give up hope. If you're a worrier, mm-hmm. you can draw closer to the Lord. He can help you. He can allow you to experience peace.
Amen to that. Thank you so much, Gary. We'll catch you in a couple days. And I want to thank our producer, Michael McCall, for putting together this wonderful pre-recorded broadcast. Okay, now send it to a bunch of friends. I've got the list of friends I'm sending this episode to. And we just say to the Take Two family, have a beautiful and blessed day. We'll see you real soon.